In Exodus chapter 17 and verse 14, Exodus 17 and 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Amen. And let's pray tonight. And you know, when we pray, we're not praying for the word. He is the word. So it's already anointed and it's going to do a work. It's going to bless somebody, but we're praying for, you can be a little selfish when we pray before the preaching and teaching of the word and say, God, soften up my heart, soften up my spirit, that your word would minister to me. And so that's a right prayer to pray. And let's just do that tonight. Let's ask that God would speak to each and every one of us, because this word is anointed. He's got a word for us if we'll receive it. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for this night, Wednesday night Bible study. Thank you for your people, God, that are desirous to hear your word. God, we pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. God, that you would speak not to our ears, but to our heart and our spirit, that your word would fall upon good ground tonight. God, that we would not just be hearers of the word, but indeed doers of the word, that your will would be done in us and through us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, the church says amen. You may be seated. So I want to talk tonight for just a few moments, and a couple of two different people during the walk around, bring your offering, shake your hand, said, take all the time you want, but we're leaving at 8:30. So we'll try to get done before those two carnal people get done. Amen. I'm not going to mention my son-in-law nor Sister Lisa by name. I won't mention my son-in-law by name, I guess. I just threw Sister Lisa under the bus, but you guys know how she is, so pray for her. Pray for her. That's throwing them under the bus twice, like in 30 seconds. God, help us all. So a kind of sobering scripture text that we opened up with. The Lord is telling Moses, write this down. I am going to stamp out Amalek. I'm going to make it where nobody remembers who he was. There's not going to be a city named the city of Amalek that stands the test of time like Rome or like Jerusalem or like Constantinople, which is still around, called Istanbul. It's not going to be like that for the Amalekites. No one's going to remember them. And so that makes me want to know, well, who were they? And what did they do that was so offensive to God that would cause the God of all creation, the God who is love, to say, I'm going to stamp out the remembrance of them. We are not going to remember the Amalekites anymore. And how can I protect myself against whatever it was, the attitude, the spirit, the actions perhaps, that they took and lived and embodied that would cause God to think of them in such a horrendous way? And so in looking into the Word of God and doing a little research and trying to find out who these people were, it leads us to Genesis chapter 36. And if we were to take the time to read, let's read the one verse in Genesis 36 and 12. I'm not sure if I gave that to you, Sister Michelle, but it says, and Timnah was concubine to Eliphaz, Esau's son, and she bare to Eliphaz Amalek. And these were the sons of Adah, Esau's wife. And so by this we know that Amalek was the grandson. And you can turn me down just a little bit up here, as long as you guys can hear me out there. So we know that Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And most of us know Esau is a more recognizable name. If we went to Sunday school, we probably heard about Esau and his brother. And we know that Esau was, he was hungry one day, and he came in from an unfruitful hunt, and he ended up selling his birthright, selling the special place that he had as the firstborn son, of Isaac. And that's significant that he was the firstborn son, because in Bible times, the firstborn son inherited everything. And so it was within his power to then pass out perhaps to the other sons and daughters some part of the inheritance. But he was the one that took the father's place. He was the one that received the blessing. The other ones may receive blessings, but he received the blessing. He received the major inheritance. So he was the inheritor of the blessings, inheritor of the possessions of his father. Esau's father was Isaac. And Isaac's father was Abraham. So now we get a picture of the lineage of who Esau was and then who Amalek was. Because Amalek was the grandson of Esau. And so we know the story of Esau, and we know the story of Jacob. And Esau sells his birthright, if you will. He was hungry. He asked his younger brother Jacob for food. And Jacob says, sure, if you give me the privilege of that you have been born with, the blessing of the firstborn. And Esau says, yeah, whatever. You know, I'm hungry. I'm going to starve to death. And so we see something about Esau, in that relationship, in that situation. He did not value, he placed no importance upon this role that he was born into, that he didn't ask for, but he was born into this role as the firstborn, as the inheritor. And I was thinking about that today, and I'm sure it was not that he did not value his father's wealth, that he did not look forward to inheriting it all someday. But it is apparent that he did not value the, you know, he likely was treated differently because he was the inheritor. He was the firstborn son. It was all going to rest upon him. So it's very likely that Esau was treated different. He didn't really, he may not have spent much time with the rank and file of the village or the city or the community. He was likely treated different from his brother Jacob because we have to take care of him, right? He's going to be the inheritor. He's the favored one. And, you know, in we could look at how the, if we look in England and Great Britain, and we see how the queen may have several sons, but the firstborn, the one that is going to be king someday, it's a different life that he has. And the same thing with the, I forget their names because I don't read People magazine, or wherever, whatever the place is that you get that kind of information these days. But they have two little princes now, and the one that was born first is treated a little differently from the other ones, because he's likely going to be king someday, if God doesn't come and this world doesn't burn up with fire, before that happens. And so it was very likely that it was that Esau did not value and that Esau did not appreciate. He was the firstborn. It wasn't that he didn't value his father's wealth. I think that would be foolish. We couldn't relate to that. But he did not value that separateness, that whole thing that he was born into that made him different from everyone around him. He didn't place much value on that, and that's what he sold to his brother for a pot of beans. And so in Genesis chapter 25 and verse 30 through 34, it says, Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. I'm faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, I am at the point to die. What profit does this birthright really mean to me? And he sold it to his brother. In verse 34, Jacob gave Esau bread, pottage of lentils, a bowl of beans. He just totally disregarded who he was and what he was and what he was an inheritor of. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He just went about his day. It wasn't a big deal to him. And then here, this another very sobering phrase in the end of verse 34. It says, thus Esau despised his birthright. So the lineage of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it should have been Abraham, Isaac, and Esau. But that's not what we read. When we read those scriptures that talk about the lineage of the Israelites, Esau didn't value his heritage. He didn't value the customs. He didn't value the teachings of his father and his grandfather and their way of life. He didn't like being different. I can imagine him wanting to fit in. He didn't appreciate that he didn't get to do what everybody else got to do. So he totally despised his birthright. He didn't appreciate the sacrifices that his father and his grandfather and his forefathers had made. He didn't appreciate the wells that had been dug and redug. He didn't appreciate the lines that had been drawn as decisions were made over the years and over the generation, lines that separated them from the world, the lines that made them different. He didn't value. Didn't mean anything to him. Perhaps he did initially, perhaps when he was younger, but over time it just kind of got to be why. He didn't see, he didn't understand the whys of it anymore. And so he didn't appreciate that what they had to do to consecrate their lives and their families to God. Perhaps all the rules just didn't seem so necessary to Esau anymore. He despised his birthright. That's what the scripture said. That hurts me. I didn't know Esau, but we can learn from it. Because I see people today, and despise is a strong word. It just means he didn't value it. It just, he didn't appreciate it. He didn't see the reason why anymore. He didn't see the benefit of all that it was and all that he had, all the blessing that he had been born into. And when we have been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus, we are the firstborn. So it's not about where you were the first child or the first son or the first daughter in your family. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus, you are a firstborn. You are a child of Abraham. You have been adopted in to the family of Jesus. And so this is the parallel that we're looking at. This is the comparison that we see in Scripture and that we can learn from if our hearts are sensitive to the Holy Ghost and we allow God to speak to us and help us and meet us right where we're at. And so because he despised his birthright, he missed out on the blessing of the firstborn. And if you took the time to read there, you find he still got a blessing. But he missed out on the blessing that he should have had. He should have had the blessing of the firstborn. And he missed out on it completely. And because of that, his life was irrevocably changed. It was forever changed. His life was not what it was intended to be. It was not what he was born into. It was not God's intention that he would go in this direction. But Esau, like me and you, our life ends up being wherever we are on a given day in a given year because of past decisions that we've made. And our life will continue to be altered by decisions that you and I make on a daily basis. Some of those decisions we make consciously, and some of them we make perhaps by not taking action, because it's easier to do nothing sometimes than it is to make a conscious decision. And so Esau's dilemma that he found himself was one that resulted from choices that he had made. But we have to believe from reading Scripture that that did not stop him from being upset, from hating his brother initially, from being jealous of those that Jacob valued it so much. He was at the point where he would do anything to receive the blessing, the birthright of the firstborn. And so even though it was Esau's own fault that he ended up where he was, we find in Scripture he still resented it for the rest of his life. He still felt robbed by his brother in the way that Jacob took the birthright. And again, if you've been filled with the Spirit and you've been taught the Word of God, you are different. You are separate. You don't belong in the world anymore. Don't despise your birthright. Don't disregard. Don't lose the awe. Don't lose the love for what we have when we've been filled with the Spirit of God and been baptized in His name. You're a chosen vessel, the Bible says. You're not the same anymore. Don't disregard it. Don't despise it. Don't not value it anymore. God help us to value what we are and who we are. And so the blessing, Esau did receive a blessing. God, he was still a child of Isaac. He was still blessed on Isaac's deathbed. But the Bible said he disdained his blessing. Not only did he despise his birthright, but he disdained. He disregarded the blessing that he did receive, because by that time he knew, he realized that was not the blessing he was intended to receive. He realized that it had been yanked out from under him, if you would, but also because of the decisions that he had made in his own carnal flesh. So it was his own fault, but he still hated Jacob. And anything that Esau went on to accomplish in his life, I have to believe, was overshadowed by his brother Jacob. Jacob, who valued the lineage of Abraham and valued the lineage of Isaac. Anything that Esau would do would be overshadowed by Jacob. Jacob, who valued the birthright so much, he valued the blessing of Abraham so much, he would do anything to get it. And when you and I received the Holy Ghost, that's how we felt too. You wouldn't have got it unless you wanted it more than anything else. And God, help us not to ever lose that awe, if you will, of the presence of God and the Spirit of God, that we would disregard it and not constantly seek to stay in His presence and to revisit you know, that initial experience that we had when God filled us with the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so I believe that Esau lived a life of regret, a life where he was consumed by jealousy and bitterness. You know, it was Jacob's name that was changed to Israel and not Esau's. It was Jacob's 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel are descended from, not Esau. And so evidenced by the spirit that was passed on from generation to generation in his lineage, Esau never got past that. And that's the spirit that we talk about tonight when we talk about fighting against the spirit of Amalek. So Amalek being the grandson, some of you thought I was never going to get back to that, and I'd gone way down a rabbit trail and forgot where I was. But no, we're going somewhere tonight. So Amalek being the grandson of Esau, and we find in Scripture having that same spirit that Esau had, a spirit of jealousy, jealous resentment, if you will, against a rival, against his brother. And jealousy often turns then to bitterness. Bitterness turns in sometimes to gossip. In Hebrews 12 and 15, let's read that. It says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And then in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you, all malice, and be kind. Just be kind to one another. Wow. You know? That's a short book, but that'd be a good one. Just be kind. I had a teacher in my office yesterday that retired this last school year, so she didn't go back to school like a lot of you did in the last weeks and months, and she was feeling so good about that. And I said, oh, I bet you don't have to put up with those, you know, rowdy kids. She's like, oh, they always gave me the bad ones. I asked for them because I could control them. I'm like, well, how'd you do that? And she said, I had one rule. You know, she said, I think a lot of teachers, they just confuse the kids, and they make these big things on the wall, and they got, one of them's got 10 rules, and one of them's got 15, and the other one's got 20. And she said, I had one rule, and it said, be kind. And if Johnny did something wrong, I would ask him, is that being kind? And most of the time, it was applicable. Just be kind. Be kind one to another, Paul writes. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. What? Well, they shouldn't have done me wrong. Well, you're getting off the path here. Just forgive them, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Jealousy turns to bitterness. Bitterness leads to gossip. And men are as good at that as women. You know, there's always the joke about the old lady that gossips, but men do it as much as women. And gossip is just habitually spreading intimate or private rumors. Or even facts. You know, they don't have to be rumors. They might even be facts, but they could still fall under the definition of gossip. And so the way Esau treated the birthright and the way he treated the blessing that he did receive created animosity between the offspring of Jacob and the offspring of Esau. And, of course, we know the offspring of Jacob are the Israelites, and they value the blessings of God, and they are known as God's people. And the offspring of Esau are the Amalekites. And they were an angry people. They were a bitter people. And they disdained the blessings of God. They didn't value the blessings of God. And in Scripture, we find that the Amalekites were a constant thorn in Israel's side. And so in Exodus chapter 17, we find where the Israelites had left Egypt. You know, they're coming out of bondage. And they're on the way to the promised land. And in Exodus 17, they're coming out of Egypt, and they meet the Amalekites. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Rephidim literally means resting place. And again, a short scripture, but you do a little word study there. And if Rephidim means resting place, then we can draw the connection that the spirit of Amalek, that spirit of jealousy and bitterness and not valuing the things of God and not valuing the heritage that we have been born into when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost, whether we were had parents that raised us in church or whether you were filled with the Holy Ghost as an adult, we are all first born when we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in the name of Jesus. And the spirit of Amalek will not allow you to enjoy the blessings of the Holy Ghost, because your mind is always going to be dwelling on some past offense, some past memory, something that you weren't treated right, you weren't done right, or you don't agree with this, or you don't agree with that. And that spirit of Amalek robs that peace, the peace of the Holy Ghost from you. It will interfere with your worship. It will rob the blessings that we get from coming into the presence of God and joining together with those of like faith, the scripture says, and worshiping God and praising God. Coming to church on a Wednesday night when maybe you're physically exhausted because you went to school all day or you worked all day and things are going wrong at home and things are going wrong at work, but you can come into the house of God and you don't even feel like worshiping, but because other people are worshiping, it kind of helps you. And by the time you leave, you spend a few minutes in the altar, and man, you got peace. You just feel good. You know, you feel rested. I promise you, so many of you, maybe all of you can testify that you have come to church tired in your body, tired physically, and left feeling physically rested and refreshed because of what you allowed God to do in your spirit, while you were here. The spirit of Amalek robs that from us, because when we should be worshiping and when we should be praising, our mind is stewing and our mind is thinking, and it's that spirit of anger that has turned into jealousy, that has turned into bitterness, that will cause us to find out someone maybe that also has a minor offense way back when, that we can hash about together and we can talk about it together and we can make each other feel better because we both are hurt. We both have our feelings hurt and we're offended, and the spirit of Amalek is robbing the blessing of the firstborn from you and keeping you from enjoying the blessings of living for God and the peace of the Holy Ghost. It's not the will of God that we should live in anger and jealousy and bitterness. It's the will of God. He is peace. He is love. He said, be kind, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another. God help us not to be controlled by and to be hindered by the spirit of Amalek, that spirit that despises the blessing of God, that does not value the thing. That's the spirit that will cause us to not no longer value what we once considered sacred in our life, that what was once so special, where we once used to enjoy the fact that we looked different and we acted different and we talked different and we didn't go to the same places that somebody else in the world might go. But when we are influenced by the spirit of Amalek, then we begin to not value that, wanting to be more like the world, wanting to be more like those that are outside the family of God. God forbid that if you or I are influenced by that, we would stay influenced. My prayer tonight that God would speak to us, and if we are being influenced by a spirit of Amalek, that we would become determined in our spirit that I'm going to pray, I'm going to fast, I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get back to where I need to be. God, I value what you are to me. I value my place in the kingdom. God, help us to not lose the awe, the specialness, the appreciation for who we are in Jesus. Amen. The spirit of Amalek has no respect for the anointing. It hinders our walk with God. It robs you of your relationship with God, and it causes us to miss out on all the blessing that God has for you. You don't know the blessing that God has for you. None of us know where in the Lord we're going to be next year or in 2 years or in 5 years. And if we're young enough, 20 years or 30 years. Only God knows. Don't let all that be stolen from you. God wants to do big things. God wants to bless you in ways that you can't imagine. You know, in your family, in your relationship, in your relationships with your children, and who you are in your job, in your career. God has untold blessings that are saved up for you. That as the firstborn, as inheritors of the firstborn blessings, those belong to us. Those are ours. And when we take ourselves out of the umbrella of protection, that when we lose the value and the appreciation of the blessing of the firstborn, then we take ourselves out of that and we miss out on so much. In Exodus chapter 17, how are we doing? I don't want people to start walking out. I got 12 minutes. Exodus chapter 17, we do find that there is a sure way to conquer the spirit of Amalek. In Exodus 17, verses 9 through 14. And Moses said to Joshua, choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. He says, tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and he fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill, and it came to pass when Moses would hold up his hand that Israel would prevail. They would be winning the battle. And when he would, in tiredness, let his hand down, then Amalek would begin to prevail. And Moses' hands were heavy. And Scripture says they took a stone and they put it under him where he could kind of sit and rest a little bit on the stone. And he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur lifted up his hands, the one on one side of him and the one on the other. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek. He won the battle and his people with the edge of the sword. Verse 14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this. And this is where we started tonight. Write this for memorial in a book. Rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. Don't let him forget how this came about today. He said, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And so the best, the most effective way to conquer the spirit of Amalek is to help each other in our praise, is to lift up the arms of pastor, to see how you can help. How can you be a blessing and not a curse, a help in the kingdom and not a hindrance in the kingdom, to support one another, to encourage one another, to pray for one another. Unity and loyalty conquers the spirit of Amalek. Unity and loyalty, working together, not for the furtherance of one person's idea over another person's idea, but working together for the furtherance of the gospel. That's what it's all about, right? Be kind. Be tender-hearted one to another. Forgive one another. That's what the scripture said. We're working together for the kingdom of God. We don't have to all agree about everything. Sometimes the best thing we can do is get your eyes off of people. Don't look. Get our eyes off of them and elevate it back to where we're looking at Jesus and remembering what this is really all about. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's not even about Pastor. It's about God. We got to keep our eyes on Him. We got to not allow ourselves to be distracted. We get distracted. It's easy to get distracted. Some people more than others. You know, the teacher always made me sit right in front of her desk. I hadn't really thought about that a whole lot, but I think that was very intentional because it was a lot of years that that happened. I'm going to have to go think about this. It really is true, and I hadn't really thought about it before much. Now I'm going to have a complex. God help us to be a blessing to one another. Amen? To support one another, to encourage one another. Unity in prayer, unity in fasting, praying together, praying for one another, holding up the arms of Pastor and Sister Pinero, being an encourager and not a naysayer, being part of the solution, not a problem, being a teacher, not a disruptor, not a doubter, not someone that thinks it has to be my way or somebody else's way. Be kind. Isn't that simple? Man, some of the most difficult things in life, we can boil them down to just a really simple concept, but because we are so complex, I think, in our mind, we think, well, it's got to be more difficult than that. But it's really not. And living for God is not difficult either, you know, especially with the manual that God gives us. He gives us some really simple principles that if we can just keep it simple, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, not let anything else kind of get in the way and distract us from our focus and from our intent. If the musicians would come, I'll give you hope here. You can go ahead and stand. That's the way that we can conquer the spirit of Amalek, is being, making sure that we don't allow anything to destroy unity, that we don't value our own ideas to the extent that we destroy unity, that we don't value our own opinion. I like my opinion. Sometimes I talk to myself so I can get good advice. Some of you are still with me, so I appreciate that. And you know it's the truth for you too. We value our own opinion. We think we're the smartest person in the room a lot of times. And I don't know that that's the will of God, when we should be valuing unity over our own opinion. And we should be valuing the things of God and the kingdom of God and the work of God and the principle of working together for the good of the kingdom more so than my opinion or your opinion. Is that all right? That's how to wipe out, to fight against the spirit of Amalek, the spirit that God despised so much. He said, I'm going to wipe these people off the face of the earth. There's not going to be a city of Amalek that people make trips to every year and spend $10,000 to go, like they go to the city of Rome and visit this and Colosseum and this and that. And maybe someday I'll get to do that. And you will if you haven't already done it. There's no city of Amalek like that. God despised that spirit so much. He said, I'm going to wipe it off the face of the earth. Moses, you remind Joshua about this day and about how we destroyed the Amalekite people, because I'm going to wipe their memory off the face of the earth. So as you come tonight, as you find a place to pray, as the singers sing and the musicians play, my prayer would be that you determine again afresh anew that you are not going to let a spirit of discontent, of jealousy, of bitterness rob you of a life of blessing. Guard your spirit. Come, as you come and pray, determine, God, help me to guard my spirit against bitterness, against hurt. Help me to be loyal, to be faithful, to be united together, to be a blessing, to be a help and not a curse, a help and not a hindrance. Would you do that? Would you make that part of your prayer tonight? Jesus, 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 Jesus.
Tonight. That was for the church tonight. That was convicting. That was edifying. But let's take everyone together. Let's find a place to pray and talk to the Lord. Come on. Nobody more important we should be talking to than the Lord tonight. Let's value the word of the Lord.